Exodus 8, I've asked you to turn there, if you would. Let's read together. Let's read, if you'll follow along as I read this morning. Exodus 8, I'm going to start in the first verse, and then I'm going to skip to verse number 25. Follow along as I read. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" Verse number 25, it says, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go sacrifice to your God in the land.' And Moses said, 'It is not right to do so, for we will be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he will command us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me.' Then Moses said, 'Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let his people go." In December of 1963, there was a television show that debuted. It started off in a studio where people would come dressed as characters in costumes and crazy stuff. And the person that ran the show would go to certain people and pick them out of the audience. And would say, "Here, I've got a prize for you. Here's a toaster, here's a mixer. Here's a, probably back then, a rotary phone maybe. Here it is. Now, you can either keep that prize or you can turn it back in for what's behind door number one, door number two, or door number three, or behind that big box. You can trade it in." You see, the show was really a success because people were always willing to trade in what they initially had for something that they thought was better. And sometimes the prizes that they won when they looked behind curtain number one was a better prize. But sometimes when they looked behind curtain number two, it wasn't so good. They got what was called a zonk. You remember that? A zonk. Z-O-N-K, zonk. They got zonked. They got something worthless. But that show was popular because people were always willing to trade. Monty Hall was the guy who was on it. And of course, you remember the show was Let's Make a Deal. Now you say, "Hey, Ron, thanks for the trip down memory lane. That was really good. I appreciate that. But we just read Exodus 8. What does that have to do with that?" Well, the answer is simple. You see, the Lord sent a man named Moses down to a place called Egypt to speak to a king named Pharaoh. Pharaoh had enslaved the people of God. He had enslaved the children of Israel. And God wanted Pharaoh to let him go. When Pharaoh refused to let his people go, God sent awful judgment upon Pharaoh and the people there in the form of 10 devastating plagues. You can read about that in Exodus for homework. You see, during the course of these plagues, Pharaoh offered to let God's people go. But he wanted them to go on Pharaoh's terms. Four times, he was going to let them leave. But each time he came along, he attached that condition of compromise to their leaving. He was saying to Moses, "I know God has said, let all his people go, and I will. But first, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. I know God said to let his people go. Well, let's make a deal." He wanted Moses and Israel to trade that which God had promised for them for something much, much less. You see, now you're wondering, well, that's great. But what does that have to do with us? What in the world does Pharaoh and Moses have to do with us in today's world, with us here today? Well, again, the answer is simple as we look into the scripture this morning. You see, in the Bible, there are certain terms and symbols for different words. And as we look at this Pharaoh in this scripture, it's a classic picture of Satan. And you see, Egypt is a classic picture of a type of the world. And Israel is a classic picture of the type of the church or as a believer. And when the Lord sent the Spirit of God to convict us, and as we became believers, he called us to leave that world, our old master Satan, behind. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." You see, that sounds easy enough. But you see, every time that we try to make that break from the world, and every time we try to make that break for Satan, we're going to find out that he wants to make a deal with us. He wants to try to make that deal with us, but there's no upgrades with Satan. There's always a bunch of zonks. That's all there is. We need to lead that life that's walking according to the will of God. You see, God wants to lead us in a life that's Spirit-filled and blessed. Satan wants us to trade those blessings for the rubbish of this world. That's what he wants. He'll offer you every compromise at his disposal to attempt to lead you astray. And sadly, there's many believers in the world that will fall for those tricks. It'll fall for those tricks. But you see, I want to point out today the four offers, the four deals that Pharaoh tried to make to Moses and Israel. Clear pictures of the compromises that Satan offers to entrap us. You see, the devil's always looking for someone to make that deal. His desire is for us to trade our gold for a bunch of worthless stones, and to trade our glory for sorrow. Deal number one. Go back with me to Exodus. Look at verses 25 through 27. Deal number one, Pharaoh trying to make with Moses. He says, "Why don't you just sacrifice here? Why don't you just sacrifice here, Moses?" It says then in verse number 25, it says, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go sacrifice to the God in the land.'" Hey guys, just go sacrifice right there. "But you see, Moses said it was not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of Egyptians before their eyes, then they will then not stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command you." You see, Pharaoh is saying to Moses, "Hey Moses, let's make a deal. Oh, you can serve your God, but you don't have to go to Egypt to do it. You don't have to leave Egypt to do it. You can stay right here. Serve the Lord. Do it right here." You see, that's the same deal that we're offered a lot of times by Satan. He comes by and he says, "Let's make a deal. Go ahead. Go ahead and be a Christian. Go ahead and be a Christian if you want to, but don't change your lifestyle. Don't change your lifestyle. You know, you can be saved, just still be like everybody else. Be like everybody else." But you see, Moses refused Pharaoh's offer, Pharaoh's deal, for two reasons. Reason number one, the sacrifices would have offended the Egyptians, as it says in verse number 26. You see, the Egyptians considered cattle to be sacred animals. They were sacred. The bull represented their god Apis, and the cow their goddess Hathor. They were sacred to those people. If the Israelites had sacrificed those animals in Egypt to Jehovah, you see, there would have been rioting and violence and fights and uprisings. The Egyptians would never have understood the worship of the Israelites at that time. But you see, nothing in this world has changed. The world can't possibly understand the worship of a Spirit-filled Christian. They'll always ask, "Why do you go to church so much? Oh, go to church on Sunday, but why do you have to go on Wednesday night? Why do you have to serve? Why? Oh, don't go so much. Why do you have to live for Jesus every day?" You see, they find the cross a symbol of scandal and foolishness. I remember a few years ago, When people wanted to erect a cross on the side of a road where one of their family members had perished in an accident, there was a big uproar about that, and the crosses weren't allowed. They came up with this round sign that they allowed, and you see them along the roadside here and there. Well, it's because the unbeliever finds that cross a scandal and it's foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. You see, for those that unbelievers, the message of the cross is foolishness. For believers to worship God in the Spirit and truth in today's world will cause an uproar. You see, what's one of the buzzwords of today? One of the buzzwords that we hear so much today is the word tolerance. Tolerance. We're supposed to accept people as they are and affirm their right to be who they are. We're not supposed to be narrow-minded and intolerant. But you see, the message of the cross is not a message of tolerance, folks. It's a message that the world doesn't want to hear. Oh, we can love our unsaved brothers and sisters. That's not what the word is saying. We can love on them. But we're not to be tolerant. We're not to be outside what the scriptures say. Oh, you see, Satan will tell you that you can have Jesus and you can have the world too. But we know he's a liar. Satan is a liar. You can't embrace Jesus and have him alone and also embrace the world. Can't have it both ways. It doesn't work. Matthew 6:24 says, now no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You see, if you're really living for Jesus, if you're really living for Jesus, then your commitment to the world will be offensive to him. If you're committed to the world, your lifestyle is offensive to Jesus. Reason number one, Pharaoh, that Moses didn't accept Pharaoh's offer was that the sacrifices would have offended the Egyptians. Number two, it wasn't what God had commanded. It wasn't what God had commanded. The Lord told Moses to go to Egypt and bring his people out. Exodus 3:10 says, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. You see, anything less that Moses had accepted would have been to compromise the commands of the Lord. Believers are to be separate from the world. That's what Jesus is calling us for. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. Again, God's not telling us that we're not to be in the world ministering, but we're not to be a part of the world. And there's a big difference there. You see, when God's people continue, I want you to catch this, when God's people continue to walk in step with the world, when God's people continue to walk in step with the world, it says some things about how they, believers, see God. There's four things I want to share with you. When God's people continue to walk in the world, it says some things about how they see God. Number one, it says they see God as not to be obeyed. 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. I've shared this story with you before. For 7 years, we were very comfortable at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. We were in seats 1 and 2, row number 6, every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. It was easy. We went. I had coffee afterwards, and I've shared before you before, during football seasons, I was home for the football game. It was wonderful. It was easy. But you see, it's not what the Lord called. When the Lord said, step out, if we hadn't have stepped out, we would have gone against his will. And I'll tell you what, my wife and I would have missed so many blessings of being here at Calvary Pompano. We had to be in his will because obedience is better than sacrifice. True Christians know that God is to be obeyed. Number two, true Christians know that God is better than any other God. If there's a believer who's still walking with the world, they say that God's no better than any other God. Matthew 22:36-38 says, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." You see, as a true believer, we're to love our neighbors. Do we know our neighbors? Do we know when they're hurting? Do we go pray for our neighbors if possible? We're to love our neighbors. We're to love Jesus. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Number three, for that believer who's walking in step with the world, he says, "God will save us, but we can do as we please." Oh, we can do as we please. Colossians 3:5 says, "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of those sins, the anger of God is coming." You see, when we're a true believer, we know that we can't do as we please. The Lord has told us to put away those earthly things. Put them aside, cast them aside. They're worthless. We're trading those glories for sorrow when we're listening to Satan. Number four, for those that are still walking in step with the world, it says belonging to God makes no difference in the life of a believer. 1 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You see, the fact is you can't have God and you can't have the world too. Satan will offer you that deal. Don't fall for his tricks. You see, if Israel had taken that deal, if Moses had taken that deal, they would have never made it to the promised land. They would have never made it. They would have stayed right there. If you take that deal, we can forget about having victory and power and glory of God in our life. Don't take that deal. Number one, his first deal was, why don't you just sacrifice here? The second deal that Pharaoh offered Moses was this, why don't you just stay close by? Why don't you just stay close by? Verse number 28, it says, "So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me." You see, Pharaoh is saying, Hey, Moses, let's make a deal. If your people must separate, then go, but hey, don't go too far away. Stay close by. Again, Satan will offer believers that same deal. He'll say, go ahead, be a Christian. Hey, but don't take it too far. Don't become a fanatic. Don't worship God so much that you become a fanatic. You see, here's the truth. The deal that Satan will give us, he'll give us as much rope as he can give us as long as we're on that rope. As long as we're on that rope, he'll keep feeding it out. He'll keep feeding it out. See, if you claim to be saved, the world doesn't care. Satan doesn't care if you claim to be saved. He just wants to keep feeding you rope. Feeding it out. You see, a sold-out Christian is an abomination to the world. A sold-out Christian is an abomination to this world. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Hey, folks, it's going to come. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be made fun of sometimes. People might laugh at us and say, "Ha, why do you follow Jesus so closely?" The word says that that's going to happen. You see, a sold out Christian is a threat to Satan. Satan wants us to live our lives like the world around us. He will say things like, you know, you be saved. But hey, don't try to stand out too much. Don't be a fanatic. Try not to be too different from the world around you. Hey, go to church on Sunday morning now and then. Maybe twice a year, Easter, Christmas, that's enough. But don't go more than that. Be saved if you want to, but don't talk about Jesus at work or school. Come on. Don't live a life that people know that you're different. Don't dress differently. Don't listen to this. Don't listen to Christian music. Listen to the same music that everybody else listens. Do the same things. Have Jesus if you want him. Hey, but don't take this thing to extremes. That's what Satan will tell us. You see, that's when he's feeding us that rope out. As long as we're on that rope, he'll just keep feeding it out. But you see, of course, that's so far away from what Jesus wants from us in our lives. He wants us to be so radically different from the world around us. So different that there'll be no confusion among the world where we stand as believers. He wants our lives to be a witness for him and for his glory. What am I saying? If you're saved, if you're a believer this morning, we need to get as far away from the world as we can. And you know, Satan does the same thing to churches. Have you thought about that? Churches nowadays, so many churches just want to water things down, want to make it easy for people to come in, don't want to teach the word. That's one thing that I love about Calvary Chapel Ministries, is that we teach book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Do you know why we do it that way? It's because we don't want to miss anything. You see, when we teach just all topical, and yes, when I teach, it's topical because I don't teach on a regular basis, but it's when our pastor is teaching, it's book by book, verse by verse. And there's a reason, because so many times in so many churches, it's cafeteria style preaching. Do you know what that is? Cafeteria style preaching is, well, I'll have some of that over there. And I'll have some of that there. But that over there looks a little scary. I don't want any of that. Don't give me any of that. You see, that's what cafeteria style preaching. And we don't do that at Calvary Chapel. We teach right straight through the Bible. We do it for a reason, so we don't miss anything. So when those hard topics come up, we teach right on them. Because that's what we need to learn. We need the whole Bible, not just part of it. Not just part of it. But you see, that's the rope that Satan is throwing out to churches every day nowadays. Hey, just make it easy. Make it easy, believism. Deal number two was, why don't you just stay close by? Deal number three was, why don't you just split your families? Deal number three was, why don't you just split your families? Turn over to Exodus 10, a couple pages over to Exodus 10. And pick it up with me in verse number 7, Exodus 10, 7. It says, Pharaoh's officials now came to Pharaoh and appealed to him. How long will you let this man hold us hostage? Remember, they were going through terrible plagues. They were tired of it. Let the men go to worship their Lord, their God. Don't you realize that Egypt lies in ruins? All these plagues had ruined Egypt. The men, the Egyptians were going to Pharaoh saying, hey, we got to do something. So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. All right, he told them, go and worship the Lord your God. But who exactly will be going with you? Here comes the condition. Moses replied, we're all going to go. Our young and our old, our sons and our daughters and our flocks and our herds. We're all going. We must join together in celebrating a festival to the Lord. But you see, here comes Pharaoh again in verse number 10. Pharaoh retorted, the Lord will certainly need to be with you if I let you take your little ones. I can see through your evil plan. Never. Only the men may go and worship the Lord, since that is what you have requested. And Pharaoh threw him out of the palace. He threw Moses and Aaron out. He says, you're not taking everybody. So Pharaoh says to Moses there, hey, Moses, let's make a deal. You can take the men and go and serve God, but you got to leave the rest of the family here. What a crazy request that was. Leave the rest of your family behind. Satan tries to do the same trick with you and I. He'll say, let's make a deal. If you want to live for God, hey, then go ahead, but don't try to change those around you. Oh, come on. Just leave the rest of your family out of it. Don't mess around. I don't know if you know it or not, or if you thought about it, but you know, Satan wants your family. He wants your family. He wants to devastate it, destroy it. That's what his goal is. He does not want you to have a godly Christian home. He wants you to leave all of the family decisions to each one of them. He wants you to let them find their own way. By the same token, you see, Satan doesn't want husbands and wives to get along. He wants to drive that wedge in there between those husband and wife. Drive a wedge in there. He wants men to cast a wandering eye on another woman. He wants the wives to cast a wandering eye on another man. That's what he wants. He wants to drive that wedge in there to cause trouble, to cause pain, to cause sorrow. He wants to divide the family. He wants TV or the school system or peer groups, but not parents to raise their kids. That's what he's asking for. That's what Satan wants. We're to tell our kids, boy, there's certain things that are just plain wrong that you just don't do. But that comes from parents. See, that's what Jesus wants from us as parents. See, parents are to set the standards through the Bible. Biblical standards in the family. That's what Jesus wants, and that's just the opposite that Satan wants. Satan just wants to keep feeding us lies. Just let your family do what they want to do. Men, we need to take the lead in the home. Men, we need to lead our families as far away from the world as we can and on the path of righteousness. That's our duty as men, as husbands, as fathers. That's our duty. It says so in Ephesians 5:23. We have that responsibility to set the example. Folks, I got to tell you, men, it's not your wife's responsibility to get the kids up and ready for church. It's yours. It's mine. That's our responsibility. We're to be the leaders in the home. It's our responsibility to take the lead in the family and lead the home. It's an awesome responsibility. But it's one that we have to take seriously as fathers, as husbands, as men of the family. And I know there's sometimes that there's just a single parent, a single mom. And bless them, they step up and they do the right thing. They lead their families in the right way. I believe God's going to honor you guys for that. The Bible calls for us to do our best to live for him in 1 Peter 3:1 through 4. Deal number three was, why don't you just split up your families? You see, that's what Satan is trying to do on an everyday basis already. We look at the families in our country today and it's a mess. Satan has gotten into so many families and just driven that wedge in there and split up families. Don't listen. That's what Pharaoh was offering Moses. Deal number four as we close this morning. Why don't you just surrender your possessions? Pharaoh is telling Moses, hey, just give up everything you got. You guys can go take everybody with you, but you got to leave everything else behind. All your possessions need to stay here. Go back to Exodus 10. Follow along in verse number 24. It says, finally, Pharaoh called Moses. Go and worship the Lord, he said, but leave your flocks and herds here. You may even take your little ones with you. Wow. He finally gave in. Take your family. Don't split your family up, but leave behind all your stuff. Verse number 25, it says, "No," Moses said, "you must provide us with animals for sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord our God. All our livestock must go with us too. Not a hoof can be left behind." I read that and I said, wow. Animal with four hoofs. I don't know how we leave one hoof behind, but that was interesting to me. That was just a little bit extra. Not a hoof left behind. "We must choose our sacrifices for the Lord our God from among these animals." You see, they were taking those animals with them so they could provide for sacrifices when they got to their new land. "And we won't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there." See, they didn't know what was going to be there. So they had to take their animals with them so they could sacrifice. You see, Pharaoh's trying to make this last deal with Moses, and he says, "Hey, if you've got to go serve God, then go ahead, but leave your possessions behind. Take yourself out of Egypt, leave and go, but leave your money here. Leave your stuff here." I think so many times as believers, we fall into that trap. Satan says, if you want to be a Christian, hey, go ahead and be one. Go ahead and be one. But hey, but leave your resources in the world. If you want to give God your heart, go ahead, but leave your living to the world. You see, Israel's flocks and herds represented their earthly possessions. You see, Pharaoh wanted Moses and Israel to leave all their resources behind. And when Moses heard the offer, he rejected it. He said, "We're taking everything. It's all going. You're not going to stop us. We're taking it all. We're not going to leave as much as a hoof behind. We're taking it all because we don't know what we're going to have where we're going to offer to the Lord. And what was given to us by the Lord is not for your use." Did you hear that? What's given to us by the Lord is not for the world's use. Oh, it's sad that many fall for that compromise of Satan today. You see, if we're believers, there's nothing that Satan can do about it. But he can, and he'll try. He'll do his very best to try to let us, make us use our resources that we have for the world. But we have to be like Moses and refuse to leave anything we have to the world. God has it all. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I taught on tithing. It was a difficult teaching, but it taught me, and I already knew this, but when you study and you teach, it all kind of comes back, and you just kind of get into it. Hey, we're that first tenth belongs to the Lord, but you know what? That 90%, it's all His. It's all His. It's all His. He wants our time. He wants our talents. He wants our tithes. The three T's: our time, our talents, and our time. He wants it all. It all belongs to Him anyways. He wants to be able to tell us what to do with that 90% that's left. You see, in the final analysis of things, God wants us lock, stock, and barrel. He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole thing. He says, when He has you and all that you have and all that you are, that's when Jesus is satisfied. That's when Jesus is satisfied. He wants it all. Don't let the world have your money, your attention, your time, your talents, your children, your family. You see, when we make that break from Satan and his kingdom, we want to come out of it totally and completely. We don't want to hold on to that rope that Satan's throwing out there. Don't hold on to it. You see, if we leave any treasure in the world at all, there's always going to be that tug at our hearts to go back. As it says in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, where's your heart today? Where have you invested things that matter? As I close this morning, in the book of Genesis, there's a story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest, And as such, he was entitled to a double portion of his father's estate, and he was entitled to take over as the head of the family when his father passed away. But you see, one day Esau had been out in the field working hard, and he came and he returned home, and he was hungry. And his brother Jacob was cooking soup in the kitchen there in the home. Esau came in and said, "Hey, I really like a bowl of soup." And Jacob said, "Okay, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. You give me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of soup." We'd have to be kind of foolish to do that deal, huh? But that's what he did. He made that deal. Traded away that which was priceless for a bowl of soup. I wonder sometimes if we're guilty of doing that same thing. Satan is always telling us, "Hey, let's make a deal. Don't trade away something precious for something worthless. Don't do that."